KALW.
This is TBH. I'm Miriam Reichenberg, and I'm a junior at Berkeley High School. This podcast is made by, about, and for teenagers, and for anybody else who wants to hear what's on our minds. Today's episode is about voting. I can't wait to cast my first ballot. My birthday is in October. I'll turn 18 just before the 2024 presidential election. I kind of see this as my next rite of passage. But I know voting is a big responsibility that requires research and political awareness. I haven't thought much about that aspect yet. The excitement I feel about voting is shared by many young people my age. According to academic researchers, people between the ages of 18 and 29 are the most politically engaged they've been for decades and are voting at historically high rates. Yet, for all that excitement and engagement, they still don't vote at the rates other segments of the population do. In this next story from Annabel Rabinowitz, a senior at Stuart Hall Convent High School in San Francisco, looks into the reasons for this and how voting organizations are working to raise youth engagement.
In a little over 6 minutes, 17 of our friends were taken from us, 15 were injured, and everyone, absolutely everyone, in the Douglas community was forever altered.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet, you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams.
Abortion, free blood! Abortion, we need them!
Abortion is freedom!
As a high school activist, I spend my time advocating for issues like gun violence, reproductive rights, and sex education in schools. I seek to make political change on a national and local scale. Of course, I'm not alone in this. When I scroll through my Instagram, half my friends are hopping on the activist bandwagon by posting infographics on the hottest new political issues, like climate change. Then, they post selfies in my hometown of San Francisco, protesting against the Supreme Court's decision to limit reproductive rights. Their posts show them carrying rhinestone-studded posters with slogans. But whether I'm at a protest or in the classroom, I like to raise the easiest and most effective way to forge political change: voting. Where did all the passion go? The intense debates about forging political change? The rage that led teenagers to protest across city streets and masses, demanding reproductive rights and school safety policies? I know what you may be thinking, that Gen Z is actually turning out at record high rates in recent elections. For example, in California, the Census Bureau reports that just under 50% of Gen Z voted in the presidential election in 2020. But still, we're voting at lower rates than older populations. Millennials, Gen X, and seniors still turn out at higher rates. By the way, Gen Z refers to anyone born between 1997 and 2012. On a national scale in 2022, this most recent midterm election, young people's turnout rate was still terrible, in my opinion.
My name is Ruby Bell Booth, and I work at Circle. It's based at the Jonathan M. Tisch College of Civic Life at Tufts University, and I'm the elections coordinator there, which means I do a lot of our research around elections.
Circle is one of the leading national organizations researching youth voters. It's an acronym for the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement.
23% being a good turnout is definitely troublesome because over 75% of young people didn't vote. But the reality is that we are working from a place where as few as 12 or 13% turned out in 2014.
Here's a short clip from NBC with some Gen Z on why they didn't show up for the midterm election.
Are you going to vote this year?
Probably not, no.
The reason why I'm voting is because I clearly see our democracy is just falling to shams.
When I don't know who to pick, who's the right person, I think it's better to choose no one than the wrong person.
We'll hear more about this later. But first, I want to explain why I'm concerned about these low turnout numbers. The right to vote was hard fought for, especially for those of us who have been historically marginalized. In the 1920s, young women across the United States protested in unison to pass the 19th Amendment and gain the right to vote. And in the 1960s, African Americans marched across Washington to win passage of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. So why aren't teens today excited about participating in the ultimate form of activism when we have so much at stake? Are we just politically disengaged, overwhelmed by the voting process, lazy? The answer's not that simple. My 19-year-old sister Aurelie's first voting experience at her college, the University of Chicago, gives us a sense of why. When I asked her why she voted, she said she did it almost by accident, after a friend of hers persuaded her to do it.
Okay, sure, I'll register to vote. So I did, and then the man who registered me handed me a ballot and was like, okay, you go vote over there. And I said, what? I thought this was registering. And then he was like, if you're registering now, when do you expect to vote? It's going to happen in the next week or so. Like, you might as well just do it now. So I was like, okay. And then I went and voted.
Aurelie cares about issues like drug addiction and homelessness, which she believes are related. She's engaged civically by providing relief to people who are addicted to drugs. But voting is not her top priority.
So my friend was like, we need to vote. You need to vote and be a responsible citizen. You should come with me and register to vote. All you need to do is register. It'll take 5 minutes.
You see, Illinois is one of those states that tries to make voting as convenient as possible. It's like other states that have a higher turnout, like California. Here in California, resident citizens with a driver's license are automatically registered to vote. My friend, Cole Alfonso, can confirm how easy it is. He's a student at UCLA who voted in the 2020 elections on campus.
So I mailed in one ballot, I think even for the referendum or 2022, and then the other one I went, UCLA has a couple voting centers on campus.
Pennsylvania is another state that experienced higher than average youth voter turnout rates. More than 31% voted in 2022, Circle's research shows. The state's voter registration makes voting easy and accessible for university students. My friend, Vishal Krishnaya, a student at University of Pennsylvania, shared his experience.
And so I just showed up, showed my ID, walked the booth. You know, the whole thing took maybe 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes.
Basic administrative details can have a huge impact, says Circle's Ruby Bell Booth.
Our research has found that policies like automatic voter registration, same-day registration, online voter registration, pre-registration, and vote by mail are all facilitative for helping young people to turn out to vote.
So, logistics are one of the big barriers for youth voters.
So those are things like young people not having enough time to vote, not knowing when the deadline to register was, having trouble filling out their registration forms, not having transportation to the polls.
The other huge barrier is a lack of confidence. Many of us feel overwhelmed, according to Circle's Bell Booth.
The other set of barriers I like to think about are really sort of cognitive almost and psychological or related to information. And so our research finds that over half of young people ages 18 to 29 don't feel like they're qualified to participate in politics. And that reflects a lack of self-confidence, self-efficacy, trust in the system, all of these sort of factors that can impact young people's desire to vote and whether they feel like they have a voice.
Other members of my generation don't vote because they don't feel like the parties are addressing their concerns.
Well, for me personally, sometimes I feel like reluctant to participate if I feel like the options aren't good enough or they're not as qualified. So I'd rather not participate than to participate.
That's Melissa Reed. She's an 18-year-old college student going into her second year at UCLA with a major in political science. Like so much of Gen Z, she says she's an independent.
I don't fully identify with either party. And so I'm really big on the ideologies of the candidates. And I feel like if they're not like fitting to my personal ideologies, then I'm more hesitant to participate.
Reid's sentiments match what pollsters have identified as a key attribute to Gen Z voters. They're motivated by the issues, not by the party or candidate, according to the Washington Post.
I would say as a young adult, definitely the age, I feel like the people in my age group are less represented when it comes to politics, even like wealth and equality and equity, all those things that it can really be summed up to representation, I feel like.
Tense nation still waiting tonight to learn who will be the next president of the United States.
While talking with my friends, I also discovered that most of them can't see how their vote in local elections connects to national issues that they care about, such as abortion and climate change. So, they'll vote in the polarized presidential elections, yet when it comes to their local elections, they won't participate.
It's finally election day here in the United States, and Americans are heading to the polls to cast their ballots for the next U.S. president. Will it be Donald Trump or will it be Joe Biden?
Some young voters can't see how the laws on the ballot will impact their day-to-day life.
I feel like when you're younger, issues generally are more, you think of them in a more abstract way rather than as something that can directly affect you.
That's Vishal Krishnaya again. So, we've already discovered that one way to incentivize Gen Z is by making it convenient. But how do we reach someone in their late 20s who's never voted before? Or a teen straight out of high school who's skipping college? Or even a college student who has all the accessibility and practical means to vote, yet simply doesn't see the point in casting a ballot? Circle's answer is to make the process of voting an integral part of the educational curriculum for students.
One piece of the puzzle would be K-12 education and having civic education in high schools, civics and governments classes in high schools where you're teaching young people about voting and elections and how to register to vote.
There are many kinds of organizations that try to remove these logistical and psychological barriers facing us. The Progressive National Lobbying Collective, Gen Z for Change, is one of them. One of its projects, called the Voter Hub, provides one central resource where its audience can register to vote, find polling places, figure out what ID, if any, they need to vote, who their political representatives are, what's on their ballot, and more. The group also aims to educate and influence young people on social media, or more specifically, TikTok, X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Gen Z for Change has over 1 million followers on TikTok. It claims to have more than 500 million followers across the different social media networks. Its members have been widely quoted across major social media outlets. One of the Voter Hub's goals is to boost Gen Zers' local voting engagement by filling the informational void left by the extinction of local news organizations. For their part, most of my friends say they collect their daily news from scrolling through Instagram or TikTok. And even if my peers do read local news, Circle's research shows that we don't feel like it represents us. Here are some of Gen Z for Change's activists on TikTok, urging Ohioans to vote against an initiative to increase the percentage of voters needed to enact state ballot measures from 50 to 60%.
Ohio voters, you're about to have one of the most important elections and you probably haven't heard about it. Y'all know what to do, hit all those buttons.
Backstory.
700,000 signatures.
The vote on the initiative took place in early August. If enacted, it was anticipated to block an amendment to Ohio's constitution that would have codified the right to an abortion, among other things. Zoe Shipley is a 21-year-old activist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She's also a research coordinator for the group of activists and influencers.
Gen Z for Change is really focusing on down ballot voting. Local, city, even state level elections can make the difference for your life, for your everyday life, for transportation, for the air in your community, for your school system, for the abortion laws in your state, for anything and everything where you live.
California's members plan to post about labor rights and climate issues in 2024, Shipley says. If our generation doesn't vote, we are letting older generations determine the fate of our society. Like creating laws that conflict with Gen Z's values, like raising the costs of housing. The good news is that many of the issues that my peers and I care about, such as gun control and abortion access, are motivating my Gen Z peers to vote at higher rates than previous generations. But we could achieve so much more if more of us actually vote, instead of just vaguely intending to, or doing performative activism. Gen Z is an engaged generation of activists, and we want to create legislative change. We've already elected one Gen Z to Congress. That's Representative Maxwell Frost, a Democrat from Florida.
Cowards who wasted our time last week, passing a parental bill of rights, not giving a damn about the rights of children to be able to go to their classroom without the fear of being gunned down due to senseless gun violence.
Frost is a prominent voice in the national anti-gun violence movement.
It is likely that at this moment, the next mass shooter is planning their shooting. What will this chamber do about it?
And in California, we've elected Gen Zer and Democrat Alex Lee to the state legislature. Lee represents Alameda and Santa Clara counties. Housing issues, as well as the environment, are big issues for him, like they are for many other Gen Z. But we need to arm ourselves with voting information. If we can plan for colleges and vacations, then we can plan to vote. This might even mean voting for candidates who aren't ideal, says Gen Z for Change's Shipley.
We try to motivate people to say, like, elect your not favorite person now to be able to elect your favorite person in the future, is make that step towards the change so that ultimately we can garner the future that we want, even if that doesn't exist currently.
We must continue this upward trend and translate the burning passion Gen Z has for activist issues into a desire and a plan to vote. Hopefully through creating civic engagement opportunities for young people, like facilitating registration stands in high schools or supporting them to join their local youth advisory councils, we can turn Gen Z into a generation of future voters and real change makers, both in local and national elections. Since I'm turning 18 in October of 2024, I'm looking forward to voting in the presidential election. I'm going to do my part by researching both candidates and their policies on issues I care about, like climate change and housing costs. I'm also going in a group so I can get my friends to vote.
Thanks, Annabelle. That story came from Annabelle Rabinowitz, a senior at Stuart Hall Convent High School in San Francisco. It was interesting to hear about the various issues that hold Gen Z back from voting, and it's also fascinating that Gen Z tends to vote based on policies rather than for specific candidates or along party lines. This really speaks to how Annabelle began her piece. We are a politically engaged generation and have the capacity to make change. Ultimately, I agree with Annabelle. Voting is the easiest way to do this. In this next roundtable discussion, Annabelle asked this season's TBH producers whether they plan to vote and why.
My name is Jamora Adro. I'm a recent graduate at Independence High School. And one of the hobbies I love to do is writing spoken word.
Hey there, my name's Theodore Nguyen. I'm going to be a rising junior at Santa Clara High School. And one of my favorite hobbies is photography and playing video games.
Hi, my name is Meharan Dulia. I'm going to be an incoming freshman at UC Santa Barbara, and one of my hobbies is baking.
Hi, my name is Carolina Quadros. I'm going to be a freshman at UC Berkeley in the fall, and one of my favorite hobbies is to go on runs.
I may choose not to vote due to personal beliefs with the candidates or the political system. And with it being my first year of actually being able to vote, I feel like it will take more time for me to actually think about it before I make my decision.
I am really excited to vote, and I don't really have a candidate that I love in, like, the past elections, like Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. I don't like either one of them, but I really don't like Donald Trump. So I'm going to vote, like, either way, even if I don't, because I feel like voting these days for me is, like, about picking the lesser evil.
I could really easily see myself almost procrastinating, researching, and educating myself properly on this subject before the next, like, even a low stakes in quotations, election comes up, and then kind of just asking my parents, like, oh, what do you do? Like, what should I vote for? But I think a promise I've made for myself is that I need to, like, be an individual outside of what my community has constantly taught me to be. I want to figure out what my values really are for our government and who I want to empower and what I care about. In my experience, I've still kind of gone back to what I was always taught, but I think it's important to at least give myself a shot to hear out different views and figure out who I really want in office.
This season of TBH, we brought you 6 stories. We worked together to brainstorm topics, discuss what interested us, and then went off to conduct research, interview subjects, and put our pieces together. I loved hearing from my fellow TBH interns about issues that matter and affect us and other teens. We all have a lot going on, and balancing school, sports, our social lives, and our emotional health can make it difficult to find the time to take a step back and really think about the issues that we care about. Creating and producing TBH allowed us to do just that. Okay, for the last time, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Miriam Reichberg. Peace out. You've been listening to TBH, a podcast from KALW Public Radio. The feature you heard in this episode was edited by Sarah Lye Sterland. Sarah taught the students along with Holly J. McDeed. Lauren Tran Muchowski is our production assistant. Music was composed by Dayud Anthony. We used additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Our artwork was created by Awan Mance. Gonady Joe Johnson and James Rollins are our engineers. Hanisha Harjani is our supervising editor. Ben Trefney is our executive director. This project was made possible with support from the Association for Continuing Education, the California Arts Council, and the Silicon Valley Community Foundation.